Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you for joining us from your own living rooms. We've got 10 people in our church here present with me. I hope you're having a good morning. I just want to give a shout out to all those parents that are sitting with their kids. If that's you today, take a picture and send it to me if you can. I'd love to see you guys enjoying the service here together. And we just want to say thank you for investing in your kids and being a part of church together. While it looks so different, but it's still a great opportunity for you to enjoy the service together as a family. I'm excited to share into the ship shape series, and my worry was that I would mispronounce that and get myself into trouble. I'm glad I didn't. And this morning I have the privilege of talking to you about discipleship. Can everybody kind of give a cheer? You can write some stuff in the chats. And a few questions this morning I want to answer. What is a disciple? What is a disciple? And what is discipleship? Is discipleship possible during a pandemic? And if so, how do people in CPC, kids, parents, singles, teens, seniors, intentionally grow in their faith during these times of this pandemic? Our heart is that you would feel inspired and intentional and responsible for those around you. Say your parents of your kids, or you have coworkers, or your neighbors, etc. So what is a disciple? How about we just start in prayer before I get going? Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you are with us, Lord, that you love our church, we love our people. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us this morning in a real and amazing way. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me. And I pray, Lord, that hearts will be changed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus, one who accepts and shares Jesus to others. Discipleship is a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And during this time, one is equipped by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit resides in us to help overcome the pressures and trials of our life, to help us become more Christ-like, to examine our thoughts, our words, our actions, and compare them with the Word. We need to know the Word. We need to get in the Word, to spend time with it, to study it, to pray it, pray through it, to obey it. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that later on. The Bible says that the Word is a lamp unto our feet. How many times in life, dark times in our life, has the Word helped us when we're going through challenging moments like COVID, that the words that maybe we've read throughout the last few years have just come to life, and it's brought light to our situations. So how does discipleship work during a pandemic? This morning, I want to take you through 5 steps of discipleship. And for all you note takers, I want to make sure it's as easy as possible for you to take proper notes this morning, okay? So number one, it's all about Jesus. Discipleship is all about Jesus. Number one point, can I hear an amen from people here? Mark 8:34-37 says, "Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way to take up your cross and follow me.'" Listen, if you want to be a leader, we need to first learn how to be a follower of Jesus. Then we learn how to be a leader. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul, is anything worth more than your soul? It's an important question to ask. The purpose of the scripture was to encourage and strengthen the Roman Christians who faced persecution and trials. And Mark is stating to them that this is normal in the life of discipleship. And Jesus had called his disciples to the realization that suffering was not only in his destiny, but theirs as well. Here, verse 34, that Jesus is addressing the crowd as well as his disciples. There's two requirements of discipleship here. A denial of self, that God, not you, must be the center of your life. B, taking up one's cross and following Jesus. That cross-bearing does not refer to some irritation in our life, but to bear the cross is to follow Jesus. Verse 35 relates to a situation in which Christians face the alternatives of confessing Christ or denying him. And Jesus warns that by denying him, one physical life may be saved, but his eternal life, his salvation will be lost. The term for me stresses an allegiance to Jesus. Do we have allegiance? Is our allegiance to Jesus this morning? Verse 36, 37 emphasizes the worth of someone's soul, that not even the whole world compares in value to your soul. Our focus should be on the Lord and pleasing him in all we do in our lives, to put away the self-centeredness that often can affect us. I know it does to me at times, but to be Christ-centered in all we do, to be a follower of Jesus, to accept him, to have a relationship with him, to spend time with him, to get to know him more, to spend time in his presence. So how do we do that during a pandemic? Through prayer, through reading God's word, to carving out time in our busy schedule, to put it as reminders in your phone. I use a lot of reminders now. I just kind of started over the last few months, and it has done great things for me, and especially helping me be more organized. That you can connect with others about where you are in your faith, that you can encourage others in your faith, that you can join us online on Sunday mornings, that you're able to watch, be a part of our service while you're at home, you're eating French toast or pancakes, or you've already eaten and you're just enjoying the service maybe by yourself or with your family. Youth ministry, every Wednesday night we are meeting in regards to youth, and soon we'll be meeting in person after Easter, which I'm super excited about. Hope to see some good comments in the chat about that. Kids Zone, I'm so thankful for people like Amanda Stensrud and Dakota Petty who led Kids Zone while I was not present for this morning at 9:30. Just such a great time with our kids. Those things are important to be a part of during this time. It helps build community, kind of like our family, our kids, and youth events over this happening this week, our family night. We want to see people there. We want to see connection happen. That is the why we're doing this. We want to build relationships. We want to have fun together. I like to laugh, all right? I like to laugh. We're going to have laughs tonight. One of the exciting things that the pandemic has brought during this time is people have had to be creative in the way they get the word out there, the way they share the gospel. You know, I think about our church, and I think about a year ago that we were on Facebook Live. This is pre-Pastor Mike and Pastor Laura days. We were on Facebook Live, and we were only able to reach those that were on Facebook. And we were having worship on one and then shut that off, and then we'd start another Facebook Live, and Pastor Ann would preach from Ladysmith. Fast forward, our church, you know, has put together resources that we can that we've invested into new technology, so our reach is wider. We have people that can watch all over the world, watch all over the province, and it actually gives a great opportunity for those that are kind of just checking out churches that they're able to see, hey, what's CPC all about? And if you're new here, my name's Trevor. I'm the family pastor here. We'd love to get to know you. Thank you so much for watching our service, and not just watching, but being a part of our church. And the great thing is, when we're able to meet in person, I believe wholeheartedly that you would enjoy and like to be a part of our church. We've got a great people in our church that care for one another. And we have a lot of fun together. So I want to welcome you this morning, if that's you. First, it's all about Jesus. Second, to be doers of the word. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, for some of you in the morning, you look in the mirror, you want to forget what you look like. Am I right? You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. There's a focus here on putting the word into practice. And if we do, it's not enough for us just to listen or just to read the word. If we do that, scripture says we are only fooling ourselves. We don't want to be fools. Verse 22, it says, do what it says. To put practice and what put into practice what you profess to believe. So what do you believe this morning? What are you going to do with all the knowledge that you have in your mind and in your heart? What are you going to do with all the sermons that you hear? How are we going to apply the things that we're going to learn, that we learn? Verse 23 to 25, the author uses an illustration of the face in a mirror. A person who listens to the word and doesn't actually do what it says. It's like a person who looks at his own face in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. It's absurd to think that we would be unable to recognize ourselves after seeing our own faces in the mirror. It's also ridiculous to bother looking in the mirror in the first place if we are going to ignore what we see. James' point is that we should be equally absurd to think that a Christian could hear the word of God but fail to do what it says. Those who believe the word of God demonstrate their trust, get this, by obeying him. He is writing to Christians about what it means to live out their faith in Christ. Those who don't obey prove that they don't really trust him. Church, listener, watcher, do you trust Jesus today? Do you trust him in your finances? Do you trust him in your relationships? Do you trust him in your relationship with your spouse, with your kids? Do you trust him? What is holding you back this morning? So far, we have Jesus is number one. To be a doer of the word. And third is produce fruit. John 15, 5 to 8 says, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, and this is key. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. I've got that underlined. That's important. This brings great glory to my Father. Our job as believers is not to produce fruit. Hear me out. Our job is to follow Christ. And if we do, the Holy Spirit will produce the fruit. This fruit is a result of our obedience. As we become more and more obedient in our walk in the ways of the Lord, our lives will be changed for good. It will overflow to the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk to people. Oh, Lord, change our thoughts, our actions, our words to be more about you. This change will be from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through our own power. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the churches in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, I love this verse, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. We may be tired of the current culture. We might be tired of the environment around us, the news, the constant changes of the guidelines, the sickness around us, the lack of us being together live. But don't give up. Why? Because soon we will reap if we don't give up. I've been here 3.5 years. At times it feels like I've been here longer. I've been here like I grew up here. We've had a lot of transition over the last 3.5 years. My thoughts, I believe wholeheartedly that our church is going to see some great years ahead. And I hope that you're saying amen and you're believing wholeheartedly. We have some great stability. We have some great teamwork. We've got great people in place that we will reap if we don't give up. Ed Stetzer says, God's fruitfulness lies on the other side of our faithfulness. Let's be faithful to live on mission during this pandemic. As a church, we need to be a voice of hope, of joy, of love, and of peace, especially now when there's so much sadness and so much frustration going around us. We need to be faithful, and fruitfulness will come. We need to be about others. Lord, help us to be on mission during this pandemic, because the harvest is ready. Fourth point, kind of cruising along here. Love other disciples. To love other disciples. I love talking about love. I could talk about love. I think I talk about love in most of my sermons, because love is the most important. It's the greatest commandment, to love others, to love God. John 13, 34 to 35 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, to love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That we are to love other believers. To love other believers is the evidence of being a member of God's family. 1 John 3:10 says, so now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Pretty strong words, am I right? It just shows the importance of loving other believers, and I get it. I get it. Some people are just really hard to love. I get it. But we're called to love. We need to practice love. So what does love look like? There's a very famous scripture about love, 1 Corinthians 13. And we're just going to read a few characteristics of what real love looks like. 13:4-7, let's read with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love is not an emotion, it's an action. We are told to think more highly of others than ourselves. Imagine the world if everyone lived those verses out. Philippians 2:3-5. I'm sharing a lot of Bible verses today. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. To be humble, thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Verse 5 says, our attitude needs to be the same that Christ Jesus had. And when you have a disagreement at home or at work, when someone offends or hurts you, or COVID's got you down, how can our attitude be different? You know, we have the perfect example to help us in our daily walk, and that's Jesus. That we could spend time with him, that he is here with us at all times. So how can we show love to other disciples and believers? Well, what's something we as a church do to help have disciples be a part of other disciples' lives? That's life groups. Small groups play a key role in discipleship. You are around like-minded people. They are different than you, which is good, right? You do life with them. You care for them. You get to know who their family is. You get to pray for each other. Community is important. We need to redefine at this time disciple-making environments. We've had to be creative nowadays. Before this last year, you were meeting at your homes. You were meeting maybe in the church, maybe on a Thursday morning when Faye had a bunch of ladies every Thursday morning. We have had to do things different. I'm very thankful for all the technology that we have today. I couldn't imagine going through this pandemic when I was growing up. And I'm going to age myself here, before internet, okay? I didn't have internet in my house when I was a teenager. I'm very thankful for technology because it helps us make connection and discipleship. Those things happen when we embrace Zoom, when we embrace phone calls and texting each other, emails, and if we go real old school, which is a real special way, is writing actual notes. And I've had people drop off really nice notes to me. I'm not asking you all to do that unless you feel like that you should. But I've really enjoyed getting handwritten messages just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you or praying for you. We can do that because we're a community who cares for each other. Now with the new COVID restrictions, we are able to meet outside in groups of 10. As weather becomes nicer, this will become a great option. Discipleship can happen anywhere with any number of people who are physically or digitally together. It doesn't just have to take part in the traditional way. You know, we all think, hey, that was the norm. Maybe now is more the norm. Resources. Our church has great resources that are at your disposal. We've got Right Now Media. Very thankful for Claire Farnell, who kind of brought this to the table a few years back, saying our church would really benefit from something like this. And I absolutely love it. Do you know that Right Now Media cost our church, and I just found this out, $170 a month. We purchase this because we value discipleship. We value your discipleship. I want to encourage you to get to know this resource. There's hundreds and hundreds of material. If you're talking on raising kids, there's things on parenting, there's things on raising teenagers. If you want to learn how to talk to your kids about sex or dating, there's great material on there. And I know I may have made teens cringe, but discussions in your home about key issues are very important. Kids discipleship, there is so much great things on there. Our life group has been using it for 2 years, and the growth in our students has been tremendous. A lot of our life groups use that resource. If you're interested in finding more about the resource or going on that website, you can go onto our church website at cpclife.com, and you could scroll down. I think it's on the main page. And Right Now Media, click on it, and you can get into that website and start looking at all the material. It's so good. Also, we have Zoom for others to use it for life groups. We've got two accounts that we would be gracious to give out our church Zoom accounts for that to make that happen. It is so important that discipleship is happening. Parents, I want to talk to you just briefly this morning. Often when we talk to first expecting parents, you often hear the words, I feel unequipped and I feel unprepared to be a parent. While this is true, there's a 9-month period where it's actually, you're getting prepared to have kids. Right, you get the baby books, you buy the crib, you know, the car, the stroller, the car seat, all that good stuff. That's a preparation time to kind of get to know what parenting's all about. And a lot of times, parenting you can't really learn from a book; it's more by experience. But the 9 months is a good preparation time for you. But when it comes to spiritual parenting and preparedness, we are in training from this from day one as when we become Christ followers. And as Christ followers, we are disciples. And disciples are disciple makers. Spiritual parents, in the same way, are disciple makers. And when we are given this beautiful child, I always think that my kids are on loan to me, that I'm in charge of these kids, and they're God's kids. That I'm in charge of them. When we're given this beautiful gift of these children, we now get disciples in our home. You have in-house disciples that you are raising, a person whom you are helping discover Jesus in every aspect of their life, in every applicable way. We have the ability to encourage the spiritual development or discourage. Our kids are like sponges. They absorb everything that we send their way. And kids are looking to see if our integrity is lining up. And I get it. There's a lot of times that I fall, that I make mistakes. It's a life lesson. And it's really important to tell your kids when you're wrong. As you disciple your kids, you need to be discipled yourself. Maybe find parents who are further along in your journey than you to ask questions. You know, I like talking to Greg and Sandy for multiple reasons. They become good friends of ours. I like to talk to them about ways that they have raised their kids and how it kind of compares with ours from when their kids were the same age as ours. I'll ask them questions about their kids and because that will be me in a few years. My kids are 16 and 14, and one day, sadly, my kids will leave our house and get married and all those great things. I like to spend time with people that are further in their parenting journey than me, so I can see how they speak to their kids, to ask questions on how they raised their kids, what spiritual formation looks like or looked like. As we are disciples, we will all be better disciple makers. Jesus taught us that ministry is to be present with people, that we are better together. Whether we are being discipled or discipling others, we are following Jesus' example of being present with one another. Parents, I want to encourage you today that you are the primary spiritual influencer in your child or teen's life. I want to show you a picture here, and I hope it turns up. This was taken in a church. Oh, it's up. Good. This was taken in a church on the importance of discipleship in your home, and the hours represented that parents have with their kids compared to the hours that they are in a church setting. So you notice the small amount of ping pong balls, that represents the hours that they are in a church setting. The large one with probably thousands of ping pong balls, that represents the hours that you have them at home. Discipleship at home is important. Our heart is that you would feel equipped and ready and excited to be discipling your kids. And I just want to encourage you that I'm here, Pastor Mike's here, Pastor Laura's here to encourage you along the way. And a lot of our discussions, Pastor Mike and I meet on a weekly basis, and we just talk about ministry and things. And that's a big heart for us moving forward, that we would help equip and encourage parents of how to have discipleship in the home. And I love coffee. I love food. You could probably tell. And if you ever want to have a conversation, we can talk about these things. I'm always looking for new ideas as well. But I want to be there as a voice to encourage, to help along the way. And I'm cheering you on. Pastor Mike and Laura are doing the same. Let's just pray for parents right now. Lord, I thank you for parents. I know parenting can be real challenging at times. We just pray, Lord, that you would encourage them. You, Lord, wherever they're sitting, if they're standing, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would show us how to parent the way that you would want us to parent. Lord, give us a love for our kids. Lord, help us to disciple them. Lord, that we would be all about you in our homes. Lord, that our homes would be Jesus-centered homes. Lord Jesus, help us, equip us. Give us courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. My last point is disciples make disciples. Matthew 28, it's a very, very popular scripture, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." To teach these new disciples, we're going to be talking about the word new. disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even at the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. Jesus' words in the Great Commission reveal the heart of God. He desires all his people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. All disciples are disciple makers. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. There are a few key words that I want to put emphasis on. And the word go. If you can leave this last scripture on the screen, that'd be great, team. Go. This isn't only a good thing to do, but we have been told to go and make disciples. That go is an action word. It is so easy to be comfortable with those that who are of like-minded people, those that are strong in their faith. But we also need to meet up with people that don't know Jesus. We are told to go. We are to share our faith with those who don't know Jesus, to share about Jesus who has radically changed our life. Your story can help others. And I encourage you, if you haven't shared your story, to write it down, to get to know it, that you would be ready in season and or any season of your life to share with whoever comes your way. No matter what maturity level you are in your faith, you have something to offer. But just remember that actions speak louder than words, but words matter too. So make sure in your actions you're also saying words as well. The next word is new. New disciples. To be intentional about talking and spending time with those who don't know Jesus. Co-workers, neighbors, classmates. 2 days ago, I was outside again with my neighbor who I'm still very intentional with, saying how our church is going to reopen and I want him to come with me. I am very intentional that every time I am outside and I see him, I spend time with him. I'm not giving up. But we need to be intentional with those times. And maybe just even, I tell my wife, I say, hey, if I see him outside, I'm not going to come in for a while. I want to talk. I want to get to know him more. The next word is with. That Jesus is with us. He is among us. Doesn't that help ease your mind, your fears? Think of all the ways he helps you. Now imagine if your coworker, your neighbor, your classmate, those people that are in your communities could experience Jesus too. We could be Jesus to those people around us. On the 19th, we have a few ladies putting together Easter baggies together and driving them out to our church kids. Let's see if we see this. It's a great Easter basket that Selena put together. I love Selena. Selena's amazing. We're not giving out those baskets, but I'll get into that in a second. But we're putting together Easter baggies, and we're going to drive them out to all our kids. And they're not for our kids of the church. They're for our kids of the church to go out into their community, someone that they care for and want to share with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. So this is an opportunity to teach your kids about, this is our opportunity to teach our students about evangelism. This is an opportunity that they can give candy or a gift to someone else. And what I want you to do with that, parents, as as your kids give out these gifts, I want you to take a picture of your child, even have the bag in their hand, and I want you to send to the church. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a draw, and one of our kids from our church is going to win that awesome basket full of like goodies and stuffed animal, okay? So make sure you take a picture, and you can send it our way. Pastor Mike has a lot of great wisdom, and he shared a while back, and I'm very close to being done, that each person should have five relationships. First, with God. A person who doesn't have faith, someone of the same gender, your spouse, and yourself. There's a lot of wisdom there. God is at work even during a time such as this. He's at work in all our lives. In closing, let's be all about Jesus. To be a doer of Jesus' teaching. To be fruitful. To love other believers, and disciples make disciples. Let's just pray, and Pastor Mike's going to come up and close, all right? Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the words that you placed on my heart. We thank you for this series. We thank you for discipleship. Lord, when I think of discipleship, I think of the disciples in our church. We think that, Lord, we pray for boldness. We pray for courage. Lord, that you would help them become disciple makers. Lord, that they would be overflowing with your presence. Lord, that they would want to get to know you and not just keep all that in, but that they would want to reach out and reach others and see people come to know Jesus. Lord, our hope and our prayer, Lord, is this church would be busting at its seams because how you're doing such a great work in our members of our church, Lord, and they just want to share with all their coworkers, their classmates, their neighbors, everybody who they're in contact with about the great news of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to do, we know the harvest is ready. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody at home, I want you to join me in saying thank you to Pastor Trevor. And I want you to take to heart what he was sharing today. During a pandemic, we have all felt so stretched, haven't we? We've all realized as well that we are capable of more under these kind of pressures than we thought we were. So something as important as discipleship doesn't go on hold. We don't press pause on discipleship. We can still relate with one another. We can still love one another, connect, and especially pour into our children and grandchildren and encourage their own discipleship. I want you to take to heart the special points that Pastor Trevor brought up today. And I want everybody, before you sign off today, I want you to take a moment to pause and ponder what is one thing that you can do today to invest in your discipleship and the discipleship of others around you. What's one thing you can do today? I want to encourage those of you who have children. Here's one thing you can do today. Tonight is a special family event. You heard Pastor Laura talk about it. Pastor Trevor talked about it as well. What time is it at again, Pastor? It's at 6:30 tonight online on Zoom. And there's going to be fun. There's going to be prizes. Families, kids, elbow your parents super hard. Run over and punch dad in the knee. And tell him, we got to get on. We want to have some fun tonight. And I appreciate the work that Pastor Trevor and his team have put in to make sure that there's some great opportunities for connection and discipleship through our spring break. Our family is going to have a little bit of time to lay low and be offline this spring break. So we look forward to our family time together. And in our absence this week, Pastor Trevor and the rest of our team here is going to do a great job just leading the charge. Also, just wanted to note that Sandy Saunders had a birthday on the weekend. And so those of you who know her, please do call into the church tomorrow morning to wish her a happy birthday or send an email in. And Sandy, we appreciate you so much. And I know that you absolutely hate this moment right now, but at least it's not happening in person. It's just online where there's an even greater audience that now knows that March 19th, write in your calendars, everybody, Sandy's birthday. And until we know what age she actually is, we're assuming every year is a big birthday. So that's just wonderful. We love you, Sandy. So appreciate you. I feel like there was one other thing I needed to say. I wrote it in my notes, but I don't remember it. So let me just close in prayer for you, and we'll trust God will give you whatever revelation you needed that I had in my notes there. Father, thank you for everybody. If you're near your spouse or your kids, would you just lay your hand on their shoulder or grab them in your arms and hold on to them? Father, thank you for the loved ones that you've put us among, family members, children, grandchildren, a spouse. Father, would you pour into our lives greater love for one another, that we would do the hard work of loving well. And those of us who are experiencing spring break, those who are watching right now who have a child who's going to be off for a week or two right now, bless them with joy, activity, and spiritual growth. And we pray that over our whole church family, all generations, children through elders, Father, help us to grow in our relationship with you this spring season. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody at home said, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.